Go ahead and take your Bibles, turn to the book of Mark this morning, please. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 8. Mark 16, verses 1 through 8 this morning. I want us to look at the thought of the message of the first resurrection morning. The message of the first resurrection morning. And this message was given by an angel, which is interesting as you do a little study, you see a lot of important messages were given by angels. And in this text, we are presented with an angel that made an announcement that still echoes today. It's a message that I want us to look at, but let us think about the ladies as they start to come, their fear and that's upon their minds of what they're coming upon. Now they're thinking about how we're going to read this in the text in a minute, how they're going to move away the stone, how they're going to be able to do it there. They're coming to anoint the body, to put the ointments on the body and take care of those things. And they had some fear going on. They were confused of what is happening and what's all happening. This was their Messiah. This is the one that they believed was going to rescue them. This is the one that was going to give them salvation. Now he is dead. Now, we know they were given the truth ahead of time. They were told what was going to happen. They were told all that was going to take place. But same as us, many times we're given the truth and it does not sink into our heads. We don't get it. And I don't believe they got it at first. We'll see this in this text. But before the resurrection, we have to have the crucifixion. You see, the complete gospel is not just the crucifixion. The complete gospel is not just the resurrection. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, we read that. He had to die. He was born to die, to rise, to offer the only way of salvation. Now, some argue what day Christ was actually crucified, and many can give their great theological debates and talk about it. And it is interesting to study it out and try to figure out what day it is. In our day, many people believed, especially the older days, they believed it was Friday, and that was even popularized by a certain religion and certain things, and they have certain things. Some believe it's Wednesday, some believe it's Thursday. We could get in a whole debate about what day it is. But the honest truth is this, it doesn't matter what day. The truth is this, Christ was crucified, and he did rise again the third day according to the scriptures. He was crucified. What does that mean? It means he who without sin became sin for us. It means the one who lived a sinless life, 33 years on this earth without sin, without blemish, was the perfect Lamb of God. Before the foundations of the world, God had a plan. And God's plan was he was going to send his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as that perfect Lamb of God, without spot and without blemish, to go to that old rugged cross. And on that cross, he willingly gave his life as a substitute for your sin and my sin. He became the propitiation for my sins and your sins, and not just for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. He came for you, and he came for me. And on that cross, our Lord and Savior was beaten. He was scourged. He was crucified. His blood was poured out for you and for me. On that cross, he died for us. Now, there's many so-called theories out there today that try to say Christ wasn't really dead. This didn't really take place. He was just unconscious, and they go through all these different things. Let me tell you, my Bible says on that cross, Jesus was crucified, and Jesus died. And I want to tell you this morning that Jesus died for you, and he died for me. And on that cross, he died. They took his body from that old rugged cross, and they placed it in a borrowed tomb. Now, it is interesting, those that are watching this, I posted on our church sites, and I also sent a text of what is believed to be the tomb that Jesus was placed in. This is Gordon's Calvary. This is the Garden Tomb. This is where it's believed. Now, some have some great thoughts. This is it. It could be. But all I have to tell you this morning is he's not in a tomb. He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And he does live. Let's look at this message from this first resurrection morning. Let's read from Mark chapter 6, 1 through 8 this morning. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they come into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell the disciples and Peter that he goeth before you in Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Heavenly Father, we ask, as we open your word this morning, and we look at this great message that was given to us in this portion of scripture, you would just comfort our hearts, encourage us, speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Look with me again in verse number 6. They were afraid. They came. They didn't know how they were going to do certain things. They didn't know how they were going to take place. And as they came, could you imagine? They see the stone is rolled away. Now, several of you that are watching, you've been to Israel. And you've been to this place of where the tomb is supposed to be. And they have out in front of it, to the side of it, what they believe the stone, the size of the stone would be. It is not anything you and I would ever be able to move. You could take a whole group. My first trip to Israel, it actually had it where people could actually touch it and try to move it. Now they moved it because they broke so many of those people trying to do things, and it's not a safe thing to do. And there's no way that it could be moved. They were afraid of what was going to take place and what was going to happen. Then they come in verse 6, and I want you to see the first point of this message that the angel gives to them. It's a message of peace. Look at verse number 6. And he said unto them, "Be not afraid. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him." Don't be afraid. The message of peace. They had this fear. But the Bible tells us, and we've been going over this verse a lot lately in our world, in 1 Timothy, we're not to have the spirit of fear, but would have the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. It is very appropriate that this resurrection message that day was a message of peace. Because 2,000 years later, the resurrection is still a message of peace. It's a message of peace that's given. You and I do not have to be afraid this morning. There is hope. And this hope is in the finished work of the cross of Calvary and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a message of peace for salvation. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 7. And I want us to look at verse 25. Hebrews 7 and verse number 25. "Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that came unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." He is able to save to the uttermost. From the guttermost to the uttermost. Jesus is able to save. It's a message of peace. You see, before salvation, before your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, your life and my life was miserable. We had no peace because we did not know Jesus as our Savior. And the moment that God opened our eyes and we saw our need of salvation, that time that Jesus spoke to us and we realized we were a sinner in need of a Savior, that moment Jesus showed us our need and we repented of our sin and by faith turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, that moment that Jesus came and dwelt within us, He gave us a peace that passeth all understanding. He gave us this peace that this world knows not of. He gave us peace in our life. This peace, this message of peace about the resurrection is in regards to salvation. But it's also in death. Turn to John chapter 11 with me. John chapter 11. And I want to read verses 25 through verse 26. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never but die. Believest thou this? What does it tell us there? There is peace even in death. You see, when you and I die and we leave this world, John 14 tells us this, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Drop down to verse 16 to verse 18. We see peace and salvation, peace in death, peace in eternity. But we also see peace in life. Verse 16 to verse 18. And I pray, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. You see, this message of peace at the resurrection is a message of peace that Jesus still gives in salvation and death and eternity and in life. He is there to give you peace. He's there to give you comfort. And this is the message that he was giving to these ladies, a message of peace. This morning, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're struggling with, you and I can have peace this morning. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, let me challenge you to come unto him. And he will give you this peace. He will save your soul. He will forgive you of your sins. Come unto him. Believer, you and I do not need to fear death. Because death from this world is nothing because we get to be with our Savior for all of eternity. This world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. And as we go through this life, we have peace as a believer because we have a comforter. We have someone that is with us who promises never to leave us nor forsake us. We have one who is always going to be with us, to guide us, to direct us, to help us, and one we can always call upon, and he will give you that peace in your life. You ever noticed how some people always, even during hard times of life, seem to have a joy and to seem to have a peace? It's because they're not leaning on their own selves. They're leaning on their comforter. And their comforter is not found in some liquid beverage. Their comforter is not found in something they put into their body. Their comforter is not even found in another human being. Their comforter is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gives them a peace in their hearts and in their lives. Not only do we see this as a message of peace, we see it's a message of power. Look again in verse number 6 there. It says, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. It's a message of power. He is risen. And as Brother Jamie mentioned before his special, many times we take that lightly in a sense. We get so used to that thought that Christ is risen. We sing those hymns, He lives, and all those other ones, Christ arose, and all those other ones, and it almost becomes trite to us in a sense that it's just something we say all the time. But the truth is, He is risen shows it's a message of power. You see, there's others that were dead who became alive. But who did the work? Jesus did the work. And what's interesting, even with those, with Lazarus and with others, what happened with them is this. They died again. But there was only one who had a true resurrection. There is only one who still lives. And that is Jesus Christ. He had the power over death, the power over grave, and the power over sin. He is risen. Now imagine, take yourselves to this scene and put yourself in the place of being these ladies coming and seeing this tomb, seeing a young man sitting there as Mark describes him, and walking in and not seeing Jesus, but seeing this individual. And some of the thoughts go through your mind: who stole the body? Who did this? Who did that? How did this happen? He says, don't be afraid. He says, there's a message of peace here. But he says, He is risen. Now remember, they were told Jesus was going to rise. They were told all this was going to take place before it did. Have you ever had something told to you and you kind of forgot it because of fear and because of other things? And then someone tells you something, and all of a sudden that light bulb goes off. And whoa, wait, remember, this is what was told. I wonder for just a moment if some of that went through their minds. This is the message is. And the message came to them. He is risen. And there's so much to that message. It shows power. Now we will say God is all powerful. We say that. We say how powerful God is and how almighty. We talk about the word that's used for power, dynamite. We get into all this and talk about all the greatness of God and how great He is. We sing songs, how great thou art. And we talk about all these wonderful things, how great and how powerful God is. But do we forget how powerful He is? See, the message that the angel gave to them is, don't be afraid, because He has great amount of power, even the amount of power to rise from the dead and to live. That message ought to speak to our hearts this morning. As we're going through our lives, as we're going through our struggles, as we're going through things that we are facing in life, don't you forget the one who had the power to save you, the one who had the power to rise from the dead, is still the same one who you and I are serving today. You see, I don't have power to be able to handle my troubles. I don't have the power. I don't have the strength to take care of my need. But I do serve the one who does. I serve the one who is in control of everything. I serve the one who spoke in this world into existence. I serve the one who is able to heal the blind. I serve the one who is able to take care of every need of every individual according to His perfect will. I serve the one who is greater than the grave. I serve the one who lives today, and His name is Jesus. And He has that power. It's a message of power. It's a message of peace. But I want you to see another thought this morning. It's a message of purpose. It says, He is risen. He is not here. Let's stop for a moment. It says He is not here. You see, Jesus had a purpose. His purpose before the foundations of the world, that he was going to be born, he was going to die, he was going to rise. And we know when he died, we understand what took place. We understand that he put the blood at the mercy seat and all that took place. He had a purpose. Now Jesus was going to come back and they were going to see him for a short time. But even then they were not to touch him, because why? He was going to his Father. It's a message of purpose. You see, this book before us, the Bible, is not a storybook. Now I know many times we refer to it as stories in the Word of God. And I know what we mean. We got to be careful though. Because these are actual events that took place. These are actual things that took place in the Word of God. It's not a fairy tale. This is the truth. And Jesus had a purpose. His purpose when he came to this earth was to fulfill the Father's will. And what was the Father's will? Remember, Jesus said, "Not my will, but his that sent me." What was his will? His will was that he was going to die and he was going to rise and he was going to sit at the right hand of the throne of God. He was not going to be here anymore. That's why he sent us a comforter, the Holy Spirit, and dwells within us. You see, in that day, and this is why many believe in that day, that, and even today some believe, that the Messiah has not come. Because their idea of the Messiah was what? The Messiah was going to come and save the people that day and set up a kingdom on this earth. Jesus did not come to set up a kingdom at that time on this earth. Jesus came to die upon the old rugged cross and rise again the third day to offer the only way of salvation. Some believe that the Messiah has not come. I understand the Old Testament is important. Don't get me wrong this morning. The Old Testament is important. The Bible even says in the New Testament it's given for a remembrance. It's given for a teaching. We can learn things from it. But I want to tell you this morning, in the New Testament, the perfect Lamb of God has come. And his name is Jesus. You see, we're not looking forward to the Messiah. We're looking back to the Messiah on the old rugged cross. We're not looking forward to that day that Jesus is going to come and die on the cross. Jesus already came. The Messiah already came. He already paid the price. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. That price has been paid because Jesus had a purpose. It's a message of peace, a message of power, but it's a message of purpose. Do we understand this morning? The message we have this morning ought to be a message of purpose. You see, the message of the resurrection ought to be to us a message of purpose. Ought to be a message of purpose in one regards and how we live our lives. Because of the resurrection, because of salvation in Jesus Christ, because of what Christ did, we have a purpose. You and I need to understand this morning, we are not saved to sour in our seats. We're saved to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with all that we have. We have a purpose to go into all the world and preach the gospel and let people know that God loved them and died for them and rose again the third day. We have a purpose to go in our lives rejoicing and praising God and serving God with all we have. That purpose is given there. That purpose of that message of the resurrection. It is interesting, they were told to go and tell the disciples. They were to go back and tell others what has taken place. You and I have the same command given to us in regards to our purpose. They were to go and they were to go from him and go and tell Peter and the other disciples in Galilee this message of purpose. But not only is the message of purpose a message of peace, a message of power. But look with me in verse 7. It's a message of promise. It's a message of promise. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. What does it say there? The last part I want you to see is, there shall ye see him as he said unto you. What did Jesus promise them? That they would see him again. What a promise given there. Now, my mind, as I read about Galilee and the area of Galilee, is back to some of my trips. One of my favorite things as I've been in Israel is actually we take a boat ride onto the Sea of Galilee. Now, some of the boat rides I like better because some have some music I don't care for, but that's a whole nother message. But some of them don't have all that, and you can just sit in the middle of the Sea of Galilee on this boat, and you look around, and you can see all these events that you talk about, that you read about in the Word of God come to place. And as you think about this, as these individuals were going back, and they were going to go back to Galilee, they're going to go back to this place, and they were going to tell the disciples and Peter this message. Then he says, all right, I want you to tell them that they're going to see me. My promise is going to be fulfilled. What a message. What a message we have today, a message of promise. What does Jesus promise us today? You see, the resurrection, before the resurrection, Jesus promised that they were going to see him again. And that message of promise is given not just to them, but given to us. What does the Bible tell us? Many promises of God's word. One, if you put your faith in him, he will save you. That's a promise. What is another promise? Another promise is we're going to be taken up and we're going to be raptured up from this earth. That's a promise, and that's going to happen. What's another promise? Jesus is going to come again, and that's a promise. What's another promise? One day, we're going to be with Jesus for all of eternity. That's a promise. What's another promise? One day, I'm going to see Jesus face to face. One day, I'm going to be able to be with him and rejoice and praise him every day of my life. It's a message of promise. The message of promise is when I die from this world because my faith is in Jesus Christ, I will not spend an eternity in the lake of fire, but I'll spend an eternity with my Lord and with my God. And he promised them, he said, you're going to see him again. And what does the angel say? You go and tell him, you're going to see Jesus. What a message of comfort, a message of hope, a message of peace. I'm so glad as I go through this life, I realize something. This world and all the turmoil and all the things happening should not have a big weight or toll upon me. Because as I go through this world, I have a message of not being afraid. I have a message that God has given me the power. I have a message of God has a purpose for me. But I have a promise that God is going to take me in his time to be with him. And I need not to be afraid of this world or anything, because I know there's something bigger and better than this earth. And that is to be with my Heavenly Father for all of eternity. I know some try to encourage people at funerals saying, oh, they're better off. And I know sometimes at funerals, you got to be careful how you say that because you don't want to undermine their loss and their grieving and all they're going through. But the truth is this. When you and I leave this world, we are so much better off. Because I don't have any more sorrow. I don't have any more pain. I don't have any more tears. I'm with my Savior. And that's a promise that I know is true. You know what's interesting? Every promise God has made has happened or will happen. Because my God is truth. He cannot and will not lie. The father of this world is the chief of liars. But my Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, cannot and will not lie. And what he's promised will come true. Well, he told them that he was going to die. He was going to rise. he was going to see them, all took place and all happened. Let us never doubt Scripture and the Word of God. Let us never doubt the message that is given to us. That first resurrection morning, the angel gave a message. That message is still the same message we need today. Let us claim the Scriptures to our hearts and to our lives. And let us praise God this morning that we truly do serve a risen Savior. I'm glad I don't serve a statue or something that I carved out. I'm glad I serve a God who can hear me, who loves me, and who is there for me. I'm glad I serve a God that did not just create this world, but came and died for me. But I'm glad I serve a God that did not just create this world and die for me. I'm glad I serve a God that rose from the grave. But I'm glad I don't serve a God that just created this world, died for me, and rose from the grave. I serve a God who loves me after salvation as well, and who is there for me each and every day of my life. Child of God, cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ this Resurrection Sunday, let me challenge you. There's no hoops you have to jump through. All you have to do is by faith turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Repent of our sins. Say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And I need you as my Savior. I cannot save myself. There is nothing that I can do. And I'm trusting in you and you alone for salvation. The Bible says today can be your day of salvation. Put your faith and trust in Him and Him alone. Believer, let us keep on trusting Him, praising Him, and thanking Him for all He's done for us. And the peace, the power, the purpose that He gives us each and every day of our lives. Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You for Your precious Word. And I pray that You just take this simple message that we've been reminded of from this angel at the first resurrection morning and apply to our hearts and to our lives. I pray in Jesus' name.